Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Don will follow shortly. I'm going to do a brief introduction, and I haven't heard from John tonight. The topic I was going to discuss tonight brings out a lot of dark feelings for me, because to me, when you're in the public sphere and you're talking on radio as a host, whether you're religious or just generally, people should take that seriously if they're proposing a topic or a theme which they really believe in their testimony. So the reason I'm going to tell you why it's serious is I'll follow through with that in a few minutes. When Christian prophecy is off base, just continue to feed the poor. Today on Christian radio, I heard a non-connective parallel between the practice of abortion and the emergence of COVID. COVID is a worldwide pandemic that affected almost every nation on earth. I might add that a lot of people think COVID was generated politically to sabotage the United States, and I'm closer in that alignment than with the theory I'm about to present. A Christian pastor on Faith Radio 90.5 in Duluth tried to correlate the ending of abortion, which was in 2020, by the U.S. Supreme Court with the entry of COVID into New York State and Washington State. Those were the first two states where abortion had been practiced in the 70s. 1.3 million people have died in the 50 years of allowing abortion, and 1.3 million Americans died during COVID. So what happens if there's an 85-year-old grandmother somewhere in the United States who dies of COVID, who had six children, but she's had to suffer retribution because of our nation allowing abortion, even if she never had one? Now, this pastor, to me, was off base for two reasons I will explain in a minute. First of all, he was correlating this plague that we got in 2020 with the year of Jubilee, which in the Bible means that it's the year where all debts are forgiven and people celebrate because their prior debts are absolved. So a 50-year landmark should be a happy time, not a sad time. The second thing is, not every American tolerated abortion. The majority won out. The stalwart Christians didn't tolerate it. The women having them didn't want to get them. They were usually with a terrible man. But I'm not blaming men in general. I'm just saying she still could have chose to have the baby. How about all the Christians who bypassed poor people on the street, who did with mothers who were poor, who needed a handout, and they just ignored them? Isn't that worse than just defending a benign policy that didn't affect their lives directly? I find this pastor to be intellectually off base because as Christians and non-Christians, people can see we're in the end times and there's a lot of plagues on the earth. For example, the Moroccan earthquake, the problem in Lanai, Hawaii that just happened, the mudslides and the mud invasion in northern Nevada and southern Nevada. You can attribute any of these severities to the people on earth not listening to God and God giving them a consequence. But I do know one woman who had three abortions and one was from a sexual assault. And that person also lost two children but had more. So I just think that God deals with people individually because as a nation, just like every person in Ethiopia, they don't believe in the fighting of the clans that are fighting there or in the Sudan. They don't support that. They're forced to go along with it. So I do believe, as the Bible states, that nations will be judged as a whole. But in some cases, you cannot correlate a Chinese bread pandemic that spread all over the world, not just the U.S., with the American practice of abortion. Because if that was the case, the average Russian woman has five or six abortions in their lifetime, and that whole nation should be dead by now. Okay, I'm bringing in Pianke. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I feel sprite tonight because I only taught 3 hours and then I had a 3-hour nap later in the day. So I feel good. How about you?
I'm doing fine. So how many abortions did you say that occurred in 50 years? You didn't say that.
The Christian pastor on talk radio said 1.3 million. And then they were also, yeah, is that true?
No, that person don't know what the heck he's talking about.
He also correlated certain dates, like the day that the Chinese Wuhan invasion happened. I think the United States made the public announcement January 20th, 2020, and New York State allowed abortion January 20th, 1970. And then he made another correlation with March 11th, 2021, I believe, is the day where everyone had to start wearing masks. And there was some pivotal, maybe that's the day the Supreme Court denied abortion, but needless to say, abortion's still happening in the U.S. in many states.
Well, the Supreme Court didn't deny no abortion. Nor were they supposed to make it a law. One is beyond their jurisdiction. And that's enough up to the states to put regulations on it, but they can't deny it. And in 1972, 73, at the Roe decision, in the next 35 years out from there, let's see, 2002, 2000, in 2007, black women had aborted over 20 million babies. So his figures.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like his theory was rocky because even if his, let's just say his theory was true for 5 seconds, why would God allow another plague to be indiscriminately cover the landscape? For example, I know this, like, former athlete, I think she was a skier. She got COVID at around age 50 and died. And some people, like, who were 85 got COVID and lived, because I saw them in my own nursing home. But I'm just saying, what is young women having abortions having to do with people getting COVID?
Well, I don't know. You have to ask the person that made those references.
I am going to look his name up. He was on Susie Larson Live today on Faith Radio. But I'm going to email her and tell her that I disagree with some of the postulates that he came up with his theory. Now, he also made the reference, and I'm not going to spend the whole night on this. I'm just trying to open the show up with this. He made the reference that the first legal abortions were permitted in New York State in 1970 before Roe v. Wade, and he also mentioned that COVID came through the ports of Washington and New York Harbor. Now, I believe it came through Washington State because I remember that the first person who got it was in the Seattle area, but he was trying to make a point that women who lost their children or chose to abort them did so in Washington and New York first, and that's why the virus travel through the U.S. that way, like some form of historical punishment.
Oh, that's what he's trying to equate. Well, I
yeah, but he was also correlating specific dates and specific, but then he correlated it to the year of Jubilee, which is supposed to be a happy time for people because in Hebrew history, that's when their debts are released. In the Bible, if you cannot pay your debts over a 50-year period or 7-year, first it's 7, but then it goes to 50, then it's a happy time. It's not a bad time.
Well, I didn't think people lived that long back in them days. 50 years, you say?
Yeah, like, if let's just say you're 20 years old and you owed a property debt. You're right. Would somebody actually live till age 70 to... You know,
I thought their lifespan was more like in the late 30s or 40s. So, you know, given the chance, and if you waited long, that which you was thinking to be truthful, will it reveal itself as being a lie?
Well, I'm going to try to find one clip off of talk radio, but in the meantime, I just want to let you know John tuned in.
John,
he's not on the air yet, but he texted me back.
Yeah, maybe he has something more elaborate to speak on.
Like, a lot of people are coming up with crazy things. In the last 3 months, I felt like our topic last week was pretty relevant. And people got the last 2 weeks, our podcasters have gotten along. So do you want to hear just a few seconds of that podcast with Jonathan Kahn about his theory about COVID? While we wait for Don and John to call in, I'm going to play it quick.
Available thanks to support from listeners like you. Every single thing conjoins me to moms and dads affected by abortion. So when you hear us talk about abortion and you're somebody clearly who's been affected by yourself or someone that you love, I'm praying you're not hearing condemnation coming on you, because there's healing and there's forgiveness at the cross. But there are babies in the womb that we want to save, that can speak up for themselves. The show isn't just about that, but I just know that that is a touchy topic for some. But we want so much to honor what God is saying to us in our nation, and we've got multiple nations listening here.
I'm going to skip to the speaker
today. In the book, he asks these questions. Could an array of Middle Eastern mysteries going back to the days of pharaohs have converged on Washington, D.C. to touch America in a single hour, in a single moment? Is America heading for judgment and calamity? Is the world? And is there hope? Have we been given a clear chance for redemption in the midst of judgment? Is it possible that there exists a key, a blueprint, a revelation even, an answer to where we are as to what the future holds, as to how one can stand in light listening here? But what is the Spirit of God saying to the church today? In the book, he asks these questions as to what the future holds, as to how one can stand in light of all that is to come and prevail. Now, friends who are listening from other countries, this message isn't just for America, because we all need to discern the times. We need to know it, bringing forth important prophetic messages.
I'm not going to be able to play much because I can't skip forward. John has called in, so basically I'll just, in one sentence, I'll reiterate what we were talking about, Pianki and I. We were talking about a Christian prophet named Jonathan Kahn, C-A-H-N, who says that after 50 years of America practicing abortion, we were plagued by COVID. And then he lined up certain dates because we allowed this blood on the altar to exist for 50 years. So he correlated 1.3 million people dying during COVID, during abortion, which Pianki said was way off. He said over 20 million black women have had abortions versus the 1.3 million people, general American citizens, who died during COVID. So with that, I'll pull John in. Hi, John.
Hello, Janessa. Is it Friday?
It's Thursday.
One more day. I'm already ahead.
So when are you, before we get into the topic, how much longer are you going to be there?
I'm going to be out here probably to October 4th. The reason being, I was going to be out here a couple weeks, but I was expecting to get here in about 30 hours, and it took us 6 days because we had the boat and we were doing it old man style. So I delayed an extra week. And when I went to book a flight, surprisingly, the normally $60, $70, $80 rate was like $200, $300, $800 if I tried to book it like right now. So, I mean, to go in like say 10 days from now. So the lowest I could get was about $110 if I wait till the 4th. If I try to do it sooner, it'd go way up.
Well,
and then I'd have to stay here like another week to get a low. Huh?
the average person has to make a flight 14 days in advance, but if you go on Travelocity and book a one-way, you should be able to get one for under $200.
Right, which I did, I think Expedia or one of those, and it was $110. Now, if I extended an extra week, like come back, say, the 10th or 11th, I could get it for maybe $60, $70. But the only way I can get a cheap rate now, I'd have to do like a 15-hour or 12-hour flight, something like that, with like two stopovers, so I didn't want to do that. You know, who wants to be on a plane for like 12 hours? Mercy.
By the way, Pianke, I found a headline about Jonathan Cahn, the preacher I was telling you about. The New York Times wrote an article about him called MAGA Church, the doomsday prophet who says the Bible predicted Trump. But let's not get into that yet. He's also a rabbi of some sort, but not raised as a rabbi. But I think he did go to a synagogue for a while. Well, anyway, so, John, do you believe in the philosophy of in Jubilee years, the debts are forgiven, and this particular prophet believes that COVID was brought on to America specifically due to our practice of 50 years of abortion. Like, in other words, it's payback time.
I think there's consequences on a society on a long-term basis, like we basically threw God out of schools in the 60s, so it's been about 60 years of that, and we're seeing, I don't think it, you can really deny that the state of our children's mental health, I mean, you think about it, we're trying to tell 8-year-old kids they can change their gender. I mean, basically cut off body parts when you get of age to have a doctor do it, and not tell your parents about it. If you, like 40 or 50 years or even 20 years ago, told, you know, people this is where we would be, people go, that's crazy. So I don't know if it's a spiritual consequence, if it's a, you know, a mental, emotional, intellectual thing. But we're reaping something. We're planting wild seed, and it's coming out.
I agree with that, but my point to Pianke was, let's see a grandmother in Nebraska who had 6 children. They worked on a farm their whole life. She gets COVID in 2020 and dies in 2021. How could that woman be the product of a plague that God instituted against women who had abortion?
Oh, you know, that part I wouldn't stretch to that, but you could go to the other angle, and that is China is an atheistic country that persecutes churches to this day, and they unleashed, I mean, it's gain for function. It is a fact. It came from Wuhan. They were doing that kind of research, and so from, you know, we've enabled, and we buy from them, so we support them. And we don't support the churches.
And I was telling Pianke, you know, I'm more in alignment with your theories on that, the Chinese purposefully doing that, than I am with this Christian pastor who states that it's a side effect of America allowing abortion, because I told Pianke that I'd say at least 35% of America never wanted an abortion to be legal. So you can't really put an onus on those people.
Right. I think that, the flip side to some of the argument of judgment is then a person gets into the fact of, you did something bad happened to you. You obviously, God is judging you. I think our consequences, like right now, God's not going to strike me. He'll wait till judgment day or when I'm in a spiritual dimension. But we're in charge of our life right now. Like, God's not going to open your refrigerator door. He didn't have me, you know, pick up the phone. I dial those buttons, and I could sit here all day praying for God to do whatever. It's not going to happen. And he's empowered us. He's given us that authority. He told Adam, you know, you have authority over these animals, and, you know, name them, do this, take care of the garden. So a lot of the times I think churches kind of get in this dimension that God is zapping people left and right. There'll be a time he'll do that, but it's not at this moment. You know, we're bringing judgment on ourselves. basically, I think.
And, you know, everybody, you know, I know Bianca has a different kind of faith in us, but everybody in America can sense the number of plagues that have hit the earth in the last few years, whether it be Lanai, Hawaii, the Moroccan earthquake, you know, the war in Ukraine, the continual civil war and starvation in Yemen, the continual starvation of Ethiopians and Sudanese. Like, everybody knows about that stuff. But we all sense it. We all know it. We're all aware. But on the other hand, to specifically pinpoint a type of plague and correlate it to a type of disaster, I don't know. That seems dangerous territory. I know when that giant tsunami hit southeastern Asia several years ago, some Christians blamed it on the fact that most of those countries were Muslim, and it was God's wrath on them.
I think you know what it is God puts concepts in the world. So, in other words, some people thought AIDS was a judgment. Maybe, maybe not. The main thing is the idea of sexual purity and not to whore yourself around, and especially in the angle of males. You know, one of the reasons God puts down commandments regarding homosexuality is because men are sexual creatures. Women are emotional creatures, so they invest in the sex to get the emotional interaction with man. Doesn't mean they don't enjoy sex, just that's not their prime mover. The prime mover is they want someone to communicate with them and share and interact, and they'll exchange
validation.
Whereas with guys, you know, we just want sex. I mean, if trees could give a man intercourse, they, you know, guys would be just humping trees all day. It's just, we don't care.
I hope
guys. You know, I mean, basically, they don't have to have an emotional connection. It's nice, but we don't care. You know, once a guy's done with sex, the physicality is done. The first thought most goes through most guys, you know, thing is like, okay, next thing, you know, like, well, let me go clean up and go work on my, you know, music, this or that, or take a nap. Like we're not invested in, like, let's continue with this thing. So, but the point I'm bringing up is that because of that wiring, that biological wiring that God created us, he understands us. He knows men are just going to be banging each other left and right, and it's a terrible spreader of disease.
I don't
want to
think of men like that either, John, but I do have a short clip I found. It's specific to our topic, so I'm going to play it for you guys because it goes exactly.
And before you play that, just one little add on to that.
50 years to the exact point. Date. Jonathan, great to have you with us. Another blockbuster book hitting the...
He's talking about the first year that abortion was legal in New York. Here we go. It's called the Josiah Manifesto. It's only a few minutes long.
Shelves, we're excited about it. Tell us what the Josiah Manifesto is going to reveal.
Yeah, what if God was giving us a message? What if he was sending a revelation about where we are right now? What is coming, what lies ahead, what we need to know to deal with what's coming, what is people, an answer, a blueprint, a guide, how to stand, how to prevail, how to survive in what is happening. That's the first part. Secondly, what if behind all the events that have been taking place in America and the world, what if there was an ancient mystery that actually, an ancient calendar that actually appointed these events, actually gives the timing of the events that have happened in our lives down to the year, the month, in some cases the minute and the second of when it happened. That is what the Josiah Manifesto is going to reveal. And the thing is, it's going to take the reader, it's going to take us on a prophetic journey that's going to begin on an island with Fidel Castro and a prophetic sign that's going to actually affect all of our lives. And the thing is that this is a book also where the other books I've written, which we, you know, from The Harbinger, The Paradigm, The Oracle, you know, The Fraternal Gods, are all the mysteries there are all coming in, converging in this one, to come together. And they come together to open up, to give a key, which opens up the guide for this hour, for this prophetic blueprint.
Yeah, Jonathan, it's your eighth book. It kind of all of your books converge here in the Josiah Manifesto. Josiah, by the way, King Josiah, one of the good ones from the Old Testament. We'll talk more about him shortly, but you mentioned Cuba and Fidel Castro.
Yes.
People might be wondering, what does that have to do with the Bible? But a very important...
Okay, I didn't get to the meat and potatoes, so I'll have it ready for another week. He's trying to correlate prophecy by, as I told Pianchi, by time. But he's doing it in 50-year modules. To me, it doesn't add up.
Well, I would be cautious when people are saying God's speaking to them, and God does speak to people prophetically. And you can look at, you know, whether it's, fortune tellers, seers, prophets, biblical prophecy. There's people who have foreseen the future that are aren't biblical. And even people who solve crimes for the police can basically they can foresee things. They're psychic, or they have some abilities. And the police in some cities do use these people because they're effective. They can give them some hints. But what I wanted to get to is that God, I believe in a creator. And that being so, he's the maker, and he understands our wiring and how our functions are. Going to my point about male sexuality, homosexuality, a man is going to use, anal sex. That's going to be the prime mover for that. And that is just the most dangerous activity. And because they are frequently wired to have sex, daily, It just spreads the AIDS and other sexual transmitted diseases quickly. And it's just a natural wiring thing. And so going back to abortion, the disrespect, the devaluation of life, of humanity, you look through history, what did Pharaoh do with the Israelites? He killed the firstborn. When Herod couldn't find the Christ, what did he do? He killed all the firstborn males. And there's other instances in history where basically people try to genocide a race. They get rid of the male so they can't procreate and spread their seed. And there's a consequence to this when you disregard life. What did Hitler do? He's putting people in ovens, and cooking them. So that's a dangerous place to go through when you start. There's a big issue with the abortion that's coming up with our election if Trump runs or gets to that. And it's going to be – I think the issue is pushing it to the states as compared to letting the federal government get involved. I think that's where it's going to get dicey.
Also, I'm going to comment on what you said, then we're going to bring Pianchi in. One of the Christian websites said this Jonathan Cahn was number one bestseller in the Josiah Manifesto, but he's nowhere to be found on the New York Times bestseller list. What I'm going to comment to you about is, you're right, the natural chain of making love to someone outside of marriage versus other consequences like getting herpes or HIV or something like that. It does happen. Strangely enough, we haven't heard about HIV in ages. Another thing I wanted to bring, I will talk about my personal testimony in a second, but I do want to bring in the fact that my one pastor of mine that was he was pastor of the church when my daughter was alive. He talked about people having sex outside of marriage and producing children that would produce children of wrath. In other words, those children not being raised in a moral home. And then they go out to commit crimes and like they're the seed of Satan in a sense, but not so dramatic. And so, my son was plagued with autism and Asperger's, and now he's going against biblical truth as far as honoring your parents. I'm not using him as an example, but one time I was sexually assaulted at age 42, not in California, I might add. I had moved back to the Midwest for 6 months, and I got pregnant, and I had an ectopic pregnancy, and I had to get a therapeutic abortion, but even so, the woman who notified me that the man had issues as far as the law, she told me to report it, and I didn't. But either way, there was a consequence because I got pregnant. But anyways, there are people, like I knew a pastor's wife who had 5 miscarriages before she had real children. So every woman's situation's different. And I blame the death of my daughter Alexis on myself for probably over 20 years until I made peace with myself. She got an outside virus that damaged her organ, and that's how she got sick. It had nothing to do with sexual relations. I was married at the time. But the fact of the matter is a lot of people, I was working in a special ed room this week in a different school district, and like there were some people who had limps, some people who were in wheelchairs, and then in the past, Americans have equated any physical handicaps with, like, a parent committed a sin, and that's why it happened. So, like I said, people have to be careful when they're pigeonholing people or judging. Another thing that happened this week is I was in a support group for 9 years, Gambling Anonymous, and one of our former members committed suicide, and she has a 10-month-old child and a husband. And she had borderline personality disorder. And she always put all her feelings on Facebook, and then she stopped. And the last 2 months she hasn't posted anything. And I didn't find out how she killed herself, but she did. And now that baby will be left to be raised by the dad. So that's about all I have to say tonight. If Pianki wants to go now, we kind of shut him out accidentally.
No, I was just listening. It's very eye-opening. Not know what you're going to say next, but I didn't know that.
Well, we kind of got a little overly involved with our little conversation because John and I are entrenched in the church.
Yeah, I see that. It's very good.
You know, the thing is like your mind can go in a lot of directions. Like, because I suffered a stillborn and a daughter dying, like, I was really down on myself. But then after my friend committed suicide this week, I realized that I made it through all the dark places. And my daughter died 31 years ago, so now I don't have to behave in a self-deprecating manner. I've gotten Christian spiritual victory. But that lady who killed herself, who was in her mid-30s, her mother was killed in the car accident. A year later, her brother was killed in a car accident. And I don't think she ever got over that trauma. She talked about her mother a lot in the therapy sessions that we had. So some people don't get over their trauma, and then they make bad choices.
Well, kind of going back to that point of abortion, it's very well known, or at least it's out there in public, that witches celebrate abortions. They feel it's a sacrifice, like offering the children. And you look historically, the sacrifice to Moloch and to various gods, they would sacrifice babies to these gods, throw them in the fire and sacrifice them to appease their god. And witches, and we're talking like right now, they, especially with Halloween coming up, it's a very high holiday. It is their Christmas, their New Year's Day party. Halloween, and they've actually marched and had like meet, like they have not prayer meetings, but they have their own little covens and circles, and they celebrate the abortions as sacrificing the children to Lucifer. And
I have a question about that, though. All those people are operating outside of God's providence, and they will be condemned on Judgment Day, but what kind of consequence do you think they'll have on earth? And I do see John in the, I see Don in the queue, but I'm not bringing him quite yet. So what kind of consequences do people who live outside of God's providence have?
It's unlimited because their conscience, it's something that you have to bury. When a woman really sees what happens in an abortion, she sees that there is a fetus inside with hands and legs and, you know, whatever. After, I think it's about 6 weeks, they start getting functioning. Well, there's a heartbeat. And when you see actual video of these, basically it's like a vacuum cleaner goes in there, rips that body apart, and there's what they call the silent scream. That fetus, that child will, the mouth opens up and it's screaming, it's in pain. And here's something that very interesting, 2 points. One is that the reason the genetic labs and the abortion centers, they want these babies parts because it's living tissue. So whether you say, oh, it's a human being or it's just a fetus, it's living tissue. There's life in it. And scientists have already, they've found that there's a spark that happens at conception. You can, like, let there be light. It all ties into biblical themes, whether a person believes it or not, whether they believe in God or not. The whole concepts, when Mary, the mother of Jesus,
you're
she was pregnant.
What was that type of surgery that Michael, the one who got the shaking disease, Michael J. Fox, stem cell, they need baby body parts for stem cell surgeries.
It's like they offer, like, an aborted fetus, it's like thousands of dollars, because they, especially the further along it goes, you know, if they can get a heart, they get lungs, they get tissue, the placenta, you can part out all that stuff, you know, like, it's thousands, you know, I think the end product's like $10,000 to $15,000, but even if it's bits and pieces, you have over a million abortions a year, so you can just figure if you got $100 off of that, that's, you know, 100 million. You start getting over 1,000. It's a $1 billion industry. And here's from something from a biblical perspective. Mary appears to her. She was, I guess, a niece. I said probably be her aunt, Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Elizabeth met Mary, according to Scripture, the babe, John the fetus inside of Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Spirit and leaped within them. And she prophesied to Mary that the seed you have will be basically the Messiah, or the Son of God, or, you know, the promised one. And so here's the point: is what if is in today's culture, you know, Mary wasn't married at the time. What if she aborted Christ? What if John the Baptist was aborted? And you think about just the whole concept. Scripture is saying that they're alive. Person inside. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the baby leaped. And you see children that are inside the fetus where they fight, you know, if they're twins, you know, like one's grabbing the other, or they'll bump each other. There's interaction in that. So to know that, there's blood on your hands when you, like, you abort. If you were to kill a 1-year-old baby or a 1-minute-old baby, you know, what's the difference between 1 minute out and 1 minute in? It's like you would say it's murder. It's like that's the most hideous thing you could ever do.
The baby I decided to keep in 86, and I lost her at 25 weeks. I didn't really want that to happen.
Oh, yeah. And I feel bad,
but you can keep talking. I mean, sometimes people do the right thing, but then I'm not saying it's the wrong outcome because it's God's will. But then I hear rando stories about, like, there was a judge in Duluth, Sally Tarnowski, who she spent her whole life helping the poor, reaching out to the Native community, creating a special court as a judge for indigent people and people who are suffering, and then she gets run over on vacation in Venice, Florida, when she was jogging. So I can see why some people become cynical about God's providence. Here's Don. Don to save the day.
Yes. Hello.
We're talking
hey,
about a Christian prophet who believes that COVID was plagued upon America due to the fact that we practiced abortion 50 years.
There are a lot more things that have been affecting communities negatively that people have done, I believe. I almost know it. When I go down south, I feel the vibes, the energy of death and destruction. And
your daughter was stranded in a mud bath in Burning Man?
Oh, she did fine. They came away. They said this was one of the best Burning Man they ever had because they had to come together as one group, one unit, to help each other get through the extra day and actually 2 days before the actual temple was burned. So it was something they said that it reminded them.
John
the
probably wants to know what kind of temple it was and whether it was Christian based.
No, this is of course Burning Man, so there is no religion.
True, but it is a kind of a symbolism of burning in hell. You know, they worship a man like the phoenix, the death, and coming forth. But it's kind of like for some, it's symbolism of burning in hell.
That's another ball of wax. Pianka's going to think that we're broadcasting live from Jerry Falwell University.
When you had those eerie feelings down south, how do you feel when you go to Chicago?
I just talked to Bianchi. I'll let Don go, but I talked to a female therapist last week who was very defensive about Chicago. She goes, there's not a lot of killing there. It just depends what neighborhood you're in. You can live a perfectly normal life in Chicago. And, she was completely deflating the fact that about 300 to 500 people die there a year.
Easily.
Well, usually when you talk about Chicago, you are talking about the northern south, if you want to call it that. Chicago, cities like Chicago, Milwaukee, where I'm from, Cleveland, Toledo, Indianapolis, they call it the south. But these are places that were populated by people from the south. That's where they came when they wanted to get away from slavery. So in essence, two things. In essence, Chicago is really the north or the south, but basically the people still have trepidations anywhere they go dealing with the leadership. Chicago is no different. Most people stay in their cities because Chicago is made up of many little villages. They'll sail in those villages and they won't venture out, partially because of they like their counterparts, their people of the same ilk, but also because they are scared of gangs or scared of going into another place that they don't know and can be dangerous. Yeah. But basically, Chicago is a lot of part of the South.
Well, Ophir is in Chicago, very, very big in that part of town. It has a dicey history. with the mob, you know, New York, of course, mob, Chicago mob, Vegas mob, L.A., you know, mob, gangs. But it's a lot of corruption. You know, politically, they helped JFK get elected. And then there was such a big problem because it's like Sinatra was buddies with them, and JFK like is telling him, I can't hang out with you, you know, that much. And Sinatra wanted to build this whole big thing so the president could go visit him. And then you got Hoover bugging all of JFK's stuff. And there's this whole go ahead.
I felt like I agree. Chicago's unique, and the reason I don't correlate it with the South, even though I know Southerners who lived in Chicago, is because its roots were in the industrialization of America and meat processing plants and a railroad hub and a shipping hub and all these places, Polish and Italians and African-Americans who had a first chance at a real job congregated there and established a powerful industry. And yes, there was neighborhood vitriol and prejudice and all that stuff, but Chicago has a lot of unique aspects about it before it became a bloodbath. Yes, there was always corruption with the neighborhood precincts and the loyalty to Mayor Daley and all that stuff, but as a whole, it has its own unique history in the landscape of America. It's not like a Montgomery, Alabama, you know, relocated or anything like that. And also, you have to look at jazz and all that other musical influence that black people established there. So I felt like Chicago was a place of success and opportunity for black people for a long time.
Right, and just remember that Oprah's from South Carolina.
Chicago is not no remnants of the South. They don't even talk. They don't even have the same dialect. And they don't call soda the same thing. One place they call it, the other place they call it soda.
Pianke probably knows more about Chicago than anyone. I lived in Waukegan for a year.
I worked on the Sears Tower. I worked for USS Steel Southworks plant, and I built buildings in Schaumburg. They're not the same. They're different.
One of my best friends, my brain's dying. His parents are someone I talk to almost once a week. He's from Chicago, and they moved out more towards the suburbs after a while, but he fully integrated into white culture now. For some reason, his hometown skipped my name. You know, I can't think of his hometown. I'll think of it. We have a guest caller from the 786. I think that might be Florida. This is Jane from Blog Talk Radio. We have four hosts on the line. Who's calling?
Hi, I'm on the air.
Yep, we're all here.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller, yeah. I've been listening for a little bit on Blog Talk. You know, I have to say that a lot of the times we were listening to experts with very little credibility who were frequently exposed, and you can check this out in my new book. It's actually number one New York bestseller on Amazon. It's called America's Truth 2021. It's only retailing for $14, and I expose Fauci, I expose Michael Pound, I expose Michael Tittum, I expose all of the scammers that were...
May I have your name and the title of your book?
Yeah, sure. My name is David. That's my surname, by the way. David.
Okay. You know, we welcome people like you. I just had a beef. I'm a born-again Christian, but I did have a beef with Jonathan Kahn. Our show started out talking about how he correlated the exposure of COVID as a retribution against the Americans tolerating abortion for 50 years. So we were just debating that one aspect of a Christian prophet that I didn't agree with, but We have people on the show who are in full alignment with you on Fauci and the all the underpinnings of the COVID and what was misrepresented.
Well, I had a question for Dave. Was it difficult to get distribution for the book? Do you find any pushback or any shadow banning or censoring as you try to promote it or social media? Do you have any issues with that?
Well, I managed to break into drop shipping before the market was entirely saturated, and I've managed to make decent sales. And a lot of the times in the book, you'll see that I really just go into not just the vaccine as a whole, but the vaccine and the financial scam behind it, because it was solely pushed to be sold to us as the solution. Everything else was ignored. Ivermectin, it was called horse medication. You know, I go into everything. Wilma Dixon, everything.
It's worked out really great for Moderna and Pfizer, too.
Yeah. What about a plain strong immune system?
Exactly. You know, people want to talk about ivermectin being some sort of horse tranquilizer. I mean, people seem to very frequently underestimate the effectiveness of prescription drugs that we've been using for years against COVID. And I go into this in my book. Methadone is primarily used to treat COVID and flush it out of the blood.
Well, what's amazing,
the thing I used was zinc, elderberry with vitamin C, and some vitamin D, or cottage cheese and cheese.
Those are
and
also
I
very
eat well all the time because I own a dance fitness and nutrition business. So I eat very well and never had COVID. Don't understand what the big hubbub was about because, just like Pianchi just said, it is basically hitting the immune system, so it's getting people who are weak. And that's something that, you know, people don't understand. Me, I used, I didn't use anything but drank hot liquids whenever I could because it
absolutely.
It
These are all scientifically researched and proven natural remedies that are all listed in my book. Again, it's
yep.
The Truth of America 2021 on Amazon, David M.D.
Nice. I'm visiting in Florida right now, and I've been noticing several people that are wearing masks, which is something you would have seen like a year ago. There's a lot of talk of this winter as far as a new wave coming out. I've seen where commercials where people are saying, oh, I've got my nine boosters, you know, like nine different shots and things. Do you think that this winter that they're going to unleash something that's a little more bioengineered that's going to knock out more people?
There is very mixed evidence to suggest that it is bioengineered, but if it is indeed bioengineered, then we know that the sources have all come from the exact same lab in Wuhan, China. This is undisputed fact. We've known this for years now, and Trump was being mongerized just for saying this. And, you know, now it's come out to be basic fact. And as far as the new variants, there's been apparently 14 variants up to this date. I'll have to check that. But as of now, there have been 14 variants confirmed in Italy.
What do you think about that, Jane?
Well, the best vaccine for a virus is the human immune system. The human immune system has a library and stored in the bone marrow of human beings. From the first virus that humanizes every experience up until these latter ones. And if it's something that they run into that they haven't seen for a while, they dispatch some cells to go to that bone marrow and look it up and grab it and come back, and the war is on.
Yes. Our immune systems have a stratified epithelium, which have major tissue glands, and they perform a variety of functions that protect, secrete, absorb, excrete, filtrate everything, and epithelial tissue is very, very functional.
Well, here's a couple
Absolutely.
Questions, Dave. I personally I take about 7 to 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day. I do a lot of anti-inflammatory stuff. I'll take turmeric with black pepper. I'll take a herb type of like shaker, the kind of thing you get like at 99, or like where you can get cilantro, rosemary, thyme, cinnamon. I do a concoction of about 7 or 8 of these. Put them together in a container. Have about 4 or 5 tablespoons of it with like virgin olive oil. I'll take cayenne pepper, and I do a different mix of these type of things. Is there any particular regimen or things you recommend that people should put in their diet to keep their immune system? Because it's all inflammation. If it's having anti-inflammatories, which COVID, cancer, arthritis, all this stuff is inflammation. Is there any diet or routine you recommend for people to stay healthy with this thing coming on, the plague, as I call it?
Absolutely. You know, I really like that you brought up anti-inflammatory foods. The tomatoes, olive oil, cayenne pepper seasonings, all of those things are wonderful. Fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, sardines, strawberries, just the regular beautiful things that we have that God has given us in nature.
Well, I tell you what, olive oil and cayenne pepper is a good colon cleanse, too. It'll bring some
olive
things
oil
out
is
of
very,
you.
Very well-known anti-inflammatory, as well as certain green leafy vegetables. They all work wonders against the bioengineered virus that is COVID.
Will the anti-inflammatories work on Fauci or any of our politicians?
Fauci is a victim of MK Ultra from 1976 and onward.
Yeah, one way that you can defeat these type of tactics we have witnessed is start educating your kids. Your kids should be taught biology and other sciences from an early point in their life. And then when they grow up, these voodoo, mysterious, and scare tactics that we hear, they won't be prone to it.
Well, it's
absolutely
interesting. I have a neighbor that was one of the youngest people in his time to go to, I think it was Yale, I believe. Is it Yale or Harvard? But he was like 15 years old. He aced his SAT. He got, I don't know, it's a 1500, 1600, whatever near perfect is, he got it. And I've had these conversations with him. He thinks all this stuff I'm talking is conspiracy stuff. He says, I believe in science. It's the science. And, it's interesting. This is a brilliant guy as far as intellect, his IQ, but no critical thinking. And a lot of it's the propaganda, because he's 24/7. He's got the TV on, and it's just programming him, like, here comes the next wave and the variant and so forth. There's a certain level where propaganda, it's hard to compete with that, because no matter what the reality is, I mean, Hitler understood this. Just tell a lie repeatedly over and over, and pretty soon people accept it as fact. They get gaslighted. So how do we fight that?
Well, Anthony Fauci is frequently looked up to as an expert on the COVID phenomenon. Although the current crisis and the current pandemic, as they so like to call it, epidemiologists and physicians all agree a simple vaccine to only throw off your immune system for the first initial 4 weeks. If anything, vaccines have been managed to be used as a compensation method for big pharma. And as far as the preparation for the next wave, which we know has already sprung out in Europe, we have to use traditional treatments.
Well, here's something too. I was wondering, one, can we? Do you have any of your information where we can put it on our website just so people can access it? Like, oh, here's my book, here's the cover, or here's my foreword, or whatever. Put it on the website. But number two, with Jane, are we at risk that they will shadow ban and shut you down just because you're posting alternate truth or facts?
I've had multiple Instagram accounts, Twitter accounts, or now as they call it, X. I've had multiple Facebook accounts shut down by every single media relative cybersecurity watch net. And they've all done this because of my beliefs, and they've done this because of the science that I've shown repetitively, but I've managed to break through in the market of truth, and that's on Amazon. Again, that's The Truth of America 2021, David M.D.
Awesome. I can tell you that it is true what he's saying, because my brother had over 500,000, I mean half a million views on his videos. And because we're a little bit political on some of our videos, and I post stuff on Facebook and social media, I would have to post things like, instead of putting the, you know, the COVID thing, I would put COX and then VID, and I would code all the words. I'd break them up because the algorithms are searching for that. And once they, because they can't monitor 2.5 billion people on the internet. There's no way. But what they do, they get the algorithm, and then that knocks that puts it into this smaller window, and they can start jumping on those accounts and locking you down. And I've had a video like 40,000 views overnight, knocked down to 18,000. I've had, you know, my subscribers from 1,000 knocked to 200, and they even do a new thing, like when you put out a video, if your video jumps where it's like you get like, say, 600 hits the first couple hours, which like my videos will do that. And then what they do at the end of the day, you wake up and you go, oh, because it can go viral. Once you hit it at that kind of intensity, it can jump into the viral feed, and then suddenly you're going, you know, coast to coast. And what it would do is I'd wake up the next morning and I'd have like 50 views. It's like, what happened? And then so the next day I push my video a bit more. I get like 400 or 500 views. Next morning I wake up, I got, you know, 70 views total.
Absolutely. The social media complex, which is now run by a bunch of liberals, has been controlled in such a way to suppress relevant information on the vaccine and other topics. And, you know, on Twitter, I had apparently violated the terms of conditions by spreading misinformation by simply promoting Trenbolone as an effective counter to COVID.
And it's interesting because what happened to freedom of speech? Because what one person thinks is true, another person thinks is a lie. You know, what a Christian believes is a lie to someone who atheist. So it's like, why are they censoring me? Why can't people make up their own mind? Why can't you present your information, your truth, and let people figure out for themselves what's right or wrong?
It's because they have to protect the new market that they have been sustaining for years by lying to us, and now independent media has won. We have won. We have broke through.
Do you have an account with Elon Musk and with his ex?
I have no problem with Elon Musk. He's fired a very substantial amount of employees at X. He's done it for the greater good of the company. There's less regulation, and I plan to be back on Twitter soon. Again, that's David MD on Twitter. Soon to be.
And what do you think about the conspiratorial theory, I guess you can call it, by Bill Gates, that he planned more or less a lot of this? He had already had the vaccine, and he just needed to test it out on the world.
Bill Gates is a notorious investor in multiple vaccine companies, including and but not limited to Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and so forth. He's been master plotting this with the New World Order, and we've known this because he's been sustaining himself with adrenochrome.
Well, it's interesting, too, because I've seen where they were bragging about it. A lot of this stuff happens. There are several groups that do this genetic type of stuff, but a lot of stuff goes through MIT, through Boston. They're so much into the digital money. They're so much into the robotics. And then they're also into the, like the with Moderna, two of the five heads there, they're from MIT and from Boston University, and they basically made billions. But it's interesting that what they're going to do is, they're bragging that, we mixed the COVID, the first batch or whatever, with the latest strain. We've come up with this new thing, and it's basically as good as the original COVID, a little more, you know, as deadly or more. Like, it's got like a 90% kill rate in certain with the rats that they're doing or the mice. And the point is, they're bragging about it, and they're saying, "Well, this is to help the public." It's like you're creating more bio risk that you can unleash, or some mad scientist, they're going to unleash it. And the point is, they keep messing around with this stuff instead of leaving it alone. And so I don't see this going away. I see this as just a test, and they're going to go another few waves of this stuff, because it's making tons of money for everyone involved. I think Moderna went from like 190 billion to like over 300 billion recently. They were given 15 billion from the government to start with. And they're just making, and they're forcing people to do it, you know, to take it. So I live in California, Southern Cal, and I'm just kind of watching to see how hard they're going to push this, because when they get to the level it's mandatory, that at that point I'll leave. But I'm staying there as long as I can and pushing and resisting and organizing a little bit until that day goes. Did we lose Jane?
I don't know. Did we? Pianca, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You might have lost me.
I was listening.
I think
honestly, Jane is eating a Taco Bell.
No, she
yeah, I think they got Jane. Yeah, maybe we said too much and they took her out.
Yeah. No, I think she went out to buy some ibuprofen, whatever that stuff is. It's a horse tranquilizer.
Well, it looked like if the Democrats.
Hi, you guys.
To
I took a break. The caller hung up.
We were concerned about you, Jane. We thought the COVID got you. Or Fauci. We thought Fauci, they had a hit squad.
I was
on
thinking
you.
If I died of a heart attack in my apartment, no one would find me for a week.
We would call 911 for you.
Was that man a good caller, and was he on target?
I liked what he was selling. I would drink his Kool-Aid.
By the way, his last name was David, not his first name.
Wow.
So we've been
on
the air an hour and 13 minutes. Could somebody tell me where we're at in the show?
Don can tell us.
Well, we're trying to get people to roll their sleeves up so they can take their shot.
Why don't we end the show in 15 minutes and each one of us gives a biblical prophecy of our next prediction?
I'll go first. I think Donald Trump is going to, I don't think they're going to be able to get him on the January 6th stuff, on the election. When they start talking about how the election was not rigged, that they debunked it, I think he's going to hit a strong case, because he's already said, I want to talk about, but I'm not. I'm going to save it. I'm saving my cards. He starts talking about how the state of the country, where it's at, how with the energy, with the border, with the things that he's going to do, and basically we've. I was watching today. Davos, the World Economic Forum, and they were talking about all this stuff, these different leaders, and they were so pissed because they said, as long as we don't get someone else in there like Trump, it's going to screw everything up. And then as they were talking, they said, you know, the problems that we have right now are terrible. We have terrible inflation. We have terrible problem with Ukraine. We have terrible problem, you know, economically across the world. And it's just these last 3 years have been terrible. What has changed in the last years, 3 years besides COVID? Joe Biden. It's like all the problems we're having with the economy, with the energy, with the, with, you know, the gas and all that stuff. It's like those are his policies. And
you can't blame
the way,
everything on the U.S. president.
Yeah, I will. I mean, because he totally flipped it. He totally shut things down to go green and force with the Ukraine situation. We pushed that whole window. And with Trump, it wouldn't have happened. He would not have gotten to this level. And now we're in this whole – because the people in Davos, in the World Economic Forum, they want this stuff to happen. They're just talking over and over, we're gonna go all green to shut down the energy, and we want this unified. They said, well, we don't want any more United States dominance. We want Europe be strong.
So who's going to be sacrificed to have a green planet? Should people have to die in order to achieve a green planet?
All the kids in the Congo, these little kids, you know, mining in water, poisoned water, to get the lithium and the cobalt so that we can have our little green, energy cars. They're going to be made in China. And China, it has 70% of the world's pollution, and India, from the global south, America is like 15-20% of the problem max. It's China and India, and they're not doing anything about it. They don't care. And I was watching them with this World Economic Forum thing. They had a rep from China there, and he's talking about how, we're one of the first ones to join the United Nations, and we are one of the most countries that contribute to peace and cooperation and economic advancement. You know, how about all the missionaries? How about all the people in from the Himalayas and the monks that are in jail and being punished and in isolation or killed and then disappear? And they're talking about how they're trying, and they pollute the whole world, and they're talking about how they want to be just a good partner for the world. They're trying to shut down the South China Sea and take it over and run out the Philippines and take over Taiwan. So that's a Paul. Who stood up against that? The only guy to stand up against that is Trump. That's it. Everyone else just rolls over.
Okay.
With the
my prophecy is that it's not so much a prophecy, but we have to prune news and media sources, because today I ran across that prophet, Jonathan Kahn, who I believe is off base, and if a Christian's going to put forth a prophecy, it should be more tailored to make sense. I also have a brief announcement, and then Don or Bianchi can go. There is going to be a celebration in Atlanta on October 1st for Jimmy Carter's 99th birthday, and the Presidential Library is going to run a video of people from all over the world wishing him a happy birthday.
His wife is kind of failing at the same time, right? It's kind of going to be like a package.
Dead long ago. They announced he was in hospice 3 months ago.
Yeah, but Jesus is inside of him, so Jesus is keeping him alive.
Somebody is. Okay,
Jimmy is
peanut
powered.
I'm glad you said the word peanut. I was thinking of something else. Bianchi or Don go? By the way, peanuts are one of my top five foods. I love peanuts.
Okay.
Are you sure it's peanuts you said?
And I hate peanut butter, so that's odd. I like crunchy peanuts. I don't like peanut butter.
I like it all.
I like crunchy peanut butter with great jam.
Yep.
Smuckers.
Nice. Do you like toast or regular bread?
Well, I like grain bread, really.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
I
like
it
better than just plain old enriched bread.
I like to put the peanut butter on thick so I can crunch the peanuts one at a time.
Now, John, don't be ignorant. Ask if that's like watermelon.
Oh, mercy.
He knows better.
Oh, no.
You're in redneck country, so don't start acting like one. Okay,
no.
You guys, I'm ending the show. I'm ending the show because I'm tired and I have to teach at 8:30. So I'm trying to decide.
Bye-bye.
It's all about you. Bye-bye.
Bye, you guys. I'm playing a song. Good night.
Whenever I will call, we humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate. I stumble and I fall. Still you always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne. I need you by my side. Forgive me for my pride.
America.
Good night, Janessa.